What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. Leadership is a big topic in dentistry. And if you own your own practice, you know how big of a deal this is. The better you get, the better your practice gets. Well, today we share some of the best leadership lessons we've learned in being part of this amazing community. These lessons come from thriving practices. We did a presentation recently with Michelle Wakeman, one of our amazing coaches, on the leadership lessons for thriving practices. And I loved it so much, I thought we would share the audio on the podcast. So here it is. Please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Thank you guys for joining us. Today's webinar, we love this stuff. If you don't know what we do, we're practice coaches. So we work with practices all over the country. This is our jam. We love this stuff. And today we're going to be talking about our biggest challenge. This is the hardest work we do. People often ask me, like, what do you do? I'm like, that's a loaded question. But getting leaders to be open, to work together, to understand how they impact people, to get them aligned, man, the faster we can grow a leader, the faster a practice grows. And so today we're going to be sharing insights, leadership lessons for thriving practices. And I have my amazing co-host, Michelle Wakeman. She is also a hockey mom, which I will tell you, you don't mess with hockey moms, right?
That is true. We are a different breed. Mostly we're just loud.
I think you're more than that, but Cool stuff. Cool stuff. Well, we are so excited. And if you haven't heard yet, the community is growing. We are super passionate about independent practice, preserving the autonomy and the freedom that you signed up for in dentistry. And we have merged with an incredible community called the Smile Source Community. And now we are one community, and it is awesome. And if you haven't seen any of it or been part of it, we're going to welcome you to join it. I promise you, you'll love it. You're going to see an incredibly passionate group of people. If you take out your phone, put it on the QR code, you can join us. Just if you're curious, like, what do you guys do? Go to the QR code. Join us. We'll welcome you with open arms. And I promise you, you're going to find a lot of support. You're going to find some great resources, which we're going to talk about today, that you don't feel so isolated anymore. That's part of the journey here. We also are adding more and more resources to this incredible community. I don't know how many members we have back there, but we now have an app and we've had it for a while. And so it's called the Best Practices Association app. You can take it on the run, baby. Look at that. You don't want me to sing, but it's where all the resources live. We are geeks about this stuff. So as we develop new tools, new recordings, new resources, new podcasts, even today's recording will be back there. We invite you to join us at the BPA back there. And so anything you want to say, Michelle, before we get rolling here?
So I just want to say two things. One, I get such great feedback on the app from my clients that I work with. It's just easier to access everything. You'll also want to type out Info Best Practices Association if you're searching for it in your app store. And I encourage you, download it. We have a ton of great conversations going on in the community. In fact, there was a great post today about leadership within a hygiene department. So it's not just our dentists that are looking for advice. It's all throughout the team. So great place to be. Encourage you to sign up and come see what the conversation's about.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So today's webinar is all about this. All right. So Michelle is what we call a pro coach. She works intimately with some of the best practices. We coach, and we're going to share with you what we see on the inside of practices that are truly thriving. So if your question today is like, what are the practices that are crushing it, doing it, we're going to show you exactly what they do. It's going to come back to leadership in some capacity or another. And why this is so important is that if you're going to run a thriving dental practice, it isn't just about great dentistry. And you've probably figured that out already. Like, you can do the dentistry, but man, I didn't sign up for this whole business thing, this whole hiring people, this whole figuring out the money thing. Success in practice is also about great leadership. And without clear direction and shared purpose, even the most talented teams lose focus, alignment, and energy. And early in my career, I saw this a lot. So I got a chance to speak and I met some great dentists. They were very popular in the world of dentistry. And they would say, you got to help me. And I would go to their practice and I would be like, oh my gosh, this place is a disaster. While they may be great educators or great clinicians, what some of them lacked was the ability to really lead people. And so we're going to reframe what leadership is. I thought leadership was like getting to be influential, getting loud, inspiring people every day. No, it's not. It's really just about being consistent around the things that matter. And so how does it show up? So you might think, and the other thing too, and Michelle, I want you to speak to this. People often overestimate how good of a leader they are. They don't often underestimate, you know, like I think they overestimate. And what that means is, you know, there are some people that come to us and they're like, I'm not a great leader. I'm just going to be super transparent. I'm not good. I don't enjoy it. Then we get the other side, like, I've told my team a million times. I've taken them everywhere. My team is, they're just not, I don't have the right people. And I'm like, oh gosh, here we go. So here's how this shows up. So this is kind of like a little bit of a test. Is your schedule full and your team hustling, yet everybody feels drained? Yes or no? The doctor goes home exhausted, wondering why the efforts don't seem to move the practice forward. Just ask yourself as a team member, as a dentist, is that true? Here's another way it shows up. Without a shared vision, busy replaces productive. I actually hate the word busy. I talk to a lot of people and I'm like, man, how you doing? We're busy. We're crazy. It's crazy, man. We're crazy busy. I'm like, that's not a great word. Everybody's just rowing, but in different directions. Michelle, what are your thoughts?
So you make a great point. I think we can all think of a time when we've had that day that feels like you have just run around on your roller skates all day long. And at the end of the day, you're just completely drained. And did you know, and I can't remember where I read this, but I read it somewhere credible, I promise, that burnout comes from a lack of working with vision. So when you're not working with purpose or working with a vision, it leads to burnout. We all think it's just from being busy, but don't you have those days where it's busy, but it feels good? It's like a good busy. You feel like you accomplished something. And so I think it's a great question. Think about how your team feels at the end of the day. Does it feel like they were productive? Meaning they had a day where they did something meaningful, or do they feel like they just did busy work all day?
So well said. That's so well said. One thing people don't sign up for is how physically demanding dentistry is, especially as you grow or scale or whatever. Nobody, not one of you listening to this ever said, I totally thought it was going to be this hard. No, you didn't. Yeah. And so that's one piece of it. And we always say there's no greater fatigue than mental fatigue. I want you to write that down. Like, when you're mentally fatigued, you can deal with physical fatigue. And when you see the output and it matched your expectations, you're good with that. You actually like a good hard day. And you're like, wow, that was hard, but it was so good. But when you have a hard day and there's no return and you're mentally fatigued, that's where a lot of this stuff comes in. And I am not an expert on burnout. I am not, but I can tell you I've been there. And so it's important to recognize those signs. Here's another way it shows up when you've got poor leadership or vision. Every decision, big or small, from approving vacation days to ordering fluoride, lands in the doctors. People are coming to you all day long because they can't make any decisions. And it's usually like, it's chaos. Like, you know, when this happens, you're like, okay, you guys got to be able to make decisions, but they're afraid to make decisions because you've trained them. Don't make decisions unless you ask me. Michelle,
Yeah, I literally had a doctor tell me this morning, Michelle, I have decision fatigue. And that is a phrase that we use a lot at ACT. And it's something that resonated with me. We can all think of a time when we're just like, I can't make one more decision. Oh my God, somebody please just make the decision for me. And it ultimately comes back to leadership.
And so I totally agree. And there's no clarity on roles or direction because the team doesn't know what success looks like. And you single-handedly become the bottleneck of your own practice. Everyone needs to know their lane. They also have to be good with their lane. They have to like their lane because you're going to give people a lane and they're like, this isn't, I don't want this job. Well, we got to agree on lanes. And when you stay in your lanes, you can create great continuity around what you need to do. Everything else is just work, and we gotta go to the leader when we don't know where we're headed. Another thing that happens is your revenue is plateaued. So if your collections aren't growing, that is a function of the lid. The lid is the leader. You've hit the ceiling. That's why I have a coach. Her name is Jamie. Jamie sees ceilings I can't see. Her job, her single-handedly, like Michelle's, is to point out ceilings I'm going to run into. I'm like, what are you talking about? She'll mention a ceiling and I can't see it. And she goes, we're about 6 months away from hitting this ceiling, whether it be a tech ceiling, a bandwidth ceiling. And so it's important that somebody can light the way in front of you. Doctor invests in CE, new technology, marketing. You're flying to these courses every single week, but you come back and you're like, what is going on? Come on. These results should be skyrocketing. Another thing that happens, and these are diagnostic signs that you need some help or some clarity, is like on the leadership vision part of it, is the team can't connect daily actions to long-term goals. They're like, why are we doing this? It's just a lot of activity because there's no clearly communicated destination. And they start questioning you and if this is even going to work. So it's important. So a couple things before we get started. We're going to unpackage all this. Don't feel bad. This is what we do. And we're going to walk you through this. Great leaders define, number one, where are we going? And let's be honest, like nobody knows exactly where they're going. They have an idea. And that's why we take everybody through a tool called the OGT tool, outcomes, goals, targets. We help them get super clear about what they're building before you build it. So where are you going? Here's the question that supports that. What does this look like when we're done building it? And so you may not know exactly, but that's why you need some help. Why do we exist? People skip over this one too. Like, why do we exist? We're just going to do dentistry. There are people that fix teeth and there are people that change lives. It's not the same practice. I'm guessing if you're watching this or listening to this, you are doing this more than just to do a few crowns a day. And then the third question is, what do we stand for? You got to put the flag in the ground and go, this is who we are. This is how we behave. This is what we believe in. Because when you do that, it attracts other people that care about the same things that you care about. And now marketing becomes easy. I'll tell the story that I always tell. Many, many years ago, we did a marketing conference. I had a guy by the name of Chris Savage. You can look him up. He started a company called Wistia. At the time, YouTube was trying to buy him for, I think, $700 million. I'm like, why wouldn't you sell? He's like, I don't care about money. I care about culture. So we had him come speak. He was our keynote speaker. And if you guys were there, you remember this. I actually sequestered him the day before because I needed to learn from him. And so I took him to our office. I showed him everything and I talked forever. And he stopped me. He's like, he goes, I want the secret to marketing. Like, you're a marketing genius. He goes, stop. You're making this too hard. You know what the secret to marketing is? I go, what? He goes, you got to talk about what you care about. You got to tell everybody, your people, your community, what do you stand for? Because as soon as you start doing that, you're going to start attracting other people that care about. Don't get weird. Don't get hokey about this. And dentists do the same thing. Like, once they chart the course and they go, I believe in this, you start to attract other people. So my question to you is, what do you really stand for? Because when you don't stand for anything, here I come with a cliche, you fall for anything. You know what I mean? So it's important to answer those three questions. When the whole team knows these three factors and they are repeated consistently. We're going to talk about that. See, somebody's got to be the chief repeating officer. You do it at home. You got to repeat the things that are important. Your practice will thrive. Anything you would add, Michelle, before we go? go a little bit deeper?
No, I think that's perfect. I mean, I might have the Hamilton refrain running through my head at this point.
You know, wait, which one is that? Tell me more.
Well, if you'll stand for anything, Burr, what do you fall for? So, I can't help it. It's the millennial in me.
I love
song lyrics.
It's been a while since I've seen Hamilton, but it's an absolutely fantastic show. So
such a good one. But no, you're so right. It's and here's the cool thing. We're talking about leadership today, and I feel like it's a loaded word, and you can walk into any bookstore. Yes, they still exist, brick and mortar, or you can search on Amazon leadership books, and you're going to get more titles than I can count,
right.
But it's actually not as hard. Like you just heard from the founder of Wistia, you're making this way too hard. We're making this way too hard. We're going to give you the formula today. And it's literally starts with just knowing, like you said, what do you stand for?
Yeah.
And then talking about it. And sharing it with your team and making sure you surround yourself with others that stand for the same thing.
Absolutely. You know, so when you get really clear about your vision over and over, you just don't do it once. Also, that's the other thing. People go, I got my vision. I put it on the wall. No, vision is every day. When you have children, when you have a family, like you are beating the vision drum every day, reinforcing rules that they don't want to hear. But it's part of who we are. This is where we're going. So you've got to chart the direction. You got to put your flag in the ground. I'll just tell a couple of stories. Some of my favorite stories. Now, you don't have to be out of network. Please don't hear this. But we have a lot of dentists that come to our To the Top Study Club. And my favorite thing is I get to hear stories. And I've watched these leaders evolve over years. And so recently, we have two female dentists. They're partners. They're so cool. They're always sponges. And the last To the Top, they're like, you know, Thursday, training wheels come off. We're off of, we are officially out of network. I go, you ready? They're like, we're so ready for this. Now they charted that course. They made that vision. Their income is skyrocketed. Their happiness is skyrocketed. It has nothing to do with being out of network. It's the fact that they charted a course, got everybody aligned around it. And they're so excited. And it's fun to watch those journeys go. I'm here to tell you, you can do anything in dentistry. You just got to make up your mind and do it and get the right people around you that believe in you, that will support you in this whole process. See, what happens is your vision paints the picture. It's a common understanding. It puts all of this motion together day to day. It doesn't become a useless thing. Without vision, everything feels reactive. You know, you've heard this one. Without vision, the people perish. You know, choice becomes intentional. A clear vision defines your destination, what you want the practice to look like. You can make decisions against it, with it. Like, this doesn't hit our vision. This doesn't fit. The stronger it is, the more clear the path is ahead of you. So what does your practice look like in the next 3 to 5 years? Now, don't worry. We're not going to leave you there. We're going to actually show you four components. And it's an exercise that Dr. Pete Dawson gave me. He said, listen, vision isn't that hard. You just got to answer questions in four different buckets. We're going to walk you through that. Michelle.
Well, I just want to speak one more time to the importance of vision. I mean, I think of not running a business without a vision. It's like taking your car out for a drive without a destination in mind.
Yeah.
Where are you going? And how many roads are you going to go over the same time twice? How many turns are you going to make over and over again? So by having that defined vision, executing every day with that vision in mind, kind of keeping that as your guiding light, your North Star, you're going to avoid repeating steps. You're going to make those intentional choices. And it's so true. Otherwise, everything is very reactive versus having a plan in place. The same doctor that I talked with this morning that told me she had decision fatigue, you know, one of the decisions she had to make, we brought it back to her vision. You know, so, okay, this is what you shared with me. Based on that, now you know what the right decision is.
Amen.
It's easy. Everything just becomes clear.
Yeah. I love it. And a lot of times, you know who you are if you're a dentist. Like, I've done this work. Vision is just hard, you know? And I'll tell you, there's two things that I like to share. If you've ever built a house, the same thing applies. You would never just build it and go, let's just do this. No, you know what the carpeting is going to look like for the most part. You know what the colors are going to look like. You know what the floors are going to look like. You know what the bathroom doors are going to look like. You know what it's going to look like before you even start the project. It would be silly to build a house and not have a really clear picture of what it looks like. That would be a mistake. And if you did that, you probably, if you didn't do that, you have a bad builder. Like a good builder knows exactly what this looks like. They know exactly, you know, all the details. The other thing too, that's a little bit easier than that is a vacation. If you've ever planned a vacation, most dentists do more planning of their vacations than they do their businesses. You know, you take your family to Disney or Puerto Rico or Mexico, you know exactly what the week is going to look like. You know what you're going to do. You know where you're going to stay. You know what the meals look like. And when you do that well, for the most part, that's an amazing vacation because it comes out the same way you expected it. Expectations and reality match up and everybody goes, that was such a great vacation, mom or dad. So it's important to have a vision before you get started. So here's the exercise Pete Dawson took me through. And if you've ever been to the top 10, you know, how to put your practice in the top 10% by Peter Dawson, this is in the first couple of pages. And he would do this regularly. And the first time I went to, there were 400 dentists in the room. I'm like, holy moly, this guy must be, he must be something. And he was. And he's like, there's four areas of your practice vision. The first one is a clinical vision. What's your overall vision of your oral health? I know you're thinking your clinical skills, but no, like, what does it mean to help people get healthy? Number two, what's your goal for every patient who sits in your chair? And I'll shout out Dr. Frank Graziano. When I was 24, I went to his office in Tuckahoe, New York. And he was a Panky grad, now Panky instructor, now Panky scholar. And he told me one of the coolest things at the young age. He's like, listen, I like you. You're going to help me. But before we walk in the doors to this practice, I want you to know one thing. Don't you dare do target dollar dentistry where we're going to try to find crowns. Like, don't you dare give me like cheesy stuff. These patients are my friends. I care about them. Every one of them has a plan. And I'll tell you what my vision is. We finish patients here. I'd never heard anybody say it. We finish patients. I find out what's important to them. I listen to them. And it might not be right now. It might be over 10 years. But like, I have a plan. Every chart you're going to pull, and that was back in the days. Remember, Michelle, you pull all those charts?
He said, oh, I remember. I don't enough to remember paper charts.
You're going to pull all of them. And all of them have a plan. All of them have a plan. And the plan is built around the patient. We finish patients. I'd never heard anybody say that. And so I think it's really important. What's your goal for every patient in the chair? How do you want your patients to feel about their experience? Because you can't make them love you if you don't intentionally put some thoughts into that. I want people to come in and go, there's no place like this. I want their expectations to be exceeded. That doesn't happen accidentally. It happens intentionally with a great group of people around you. What do you want your patients to say? Because obviously you want them leaving telling the whole world, like that's the greatest place ever, especially if you charge a premium fee. And what do you want other dentists to say about your dentistry? If you're a general dentist, all the specialists know how good you are, even if you haven't talked to them, because you want them to say great things about it. Anything you would add about this bucket, Michelle?
I just think it's so important to have this defined. And once you've defined it, communicate it with your team.
Yeah.
They can't read your mind. So yeah, I feel like a lot of us out there, we think that everybody has ESP and they just understand what's going through our brains, but you have to communicate it out loud and better yet, put it in writing. And I always think of that point. What do you want patients to say about your dentistry? Your patient doesn't know that you've spent umpteen clinical hours in continuing education to have the best crown margins in Texas, but they know how you made them feel when they were there. They know whether it hurt or not. They know whether they felt cared for. So when you can intentionally make those things happen, your patients think you are the greatest dentist on the face of the planet. And like you said, they're going to tell their friends and their family, hopefully not the crazy ones.
Yeah.
We want them to tell the good friends and the good family. But yeah, you have to define what it is. It's not good enough to just say, I fix teeth.
Yeah, totally agree. So here's how you do the exercise. You can take screenshots of these four key areas. Just answer these questions. Back when I got started, I thought vision was a beautifully written statement. I actually have some of the originals. Like it was a 2 or 3 page document that described how people, you know, and it was really out there. It was like very, very aspirational. Those are good, but they're not helpful to me as a team member. I would love great clarity around the answers to these questions. And if I'm a team member, I can help you get there. The more we're committed to creating clarity around each one of these questions. So oftentimes the secret isn't the answer. It's the question. Got to ask the right questions. The second key area that Pete Dawson helped me understand that was important to vision is, what's your financial vision? How does practice profitability of how does the profitability of your practice feel? I can't talk today.
Talking is hard.
Yeah. Does the return on your effort feel reasonable? How will the overall profitability of your practice differ, you know, than in the future than it does from today? And I think gross production is a false proxy. I just think it's a terrible number to gauge how well you're doing, because people say, well, I grossed $2 million. Well, you only, your net production is only $1 million. So like you're working really hard for a lot less. I don't care what you produce. I actually don't care what you collect. I care what you keep. And so it's important. What does profitability mean to you in this area? Anything you would add on this one, Michelle?
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the other piece of this is I would encourage you to get granular, whether it means you need to talk to your financial advisor or look at your goals for your life. Come up with a number, you know, because otherwise it's never enough.
Yeah.
What's enough? Yeah. And I love that second point on this of, does the return on your effort feel reasonable? Is there anything worse than feeling like you didn't get enough out of what you put in? So when you look at your bank statement at the end of the month and you see on there, you know, gosh, we did all this production, we collected all this, but there's nothing left over. Does it feel like my effort was worth it? How do we get there? And yeah. What is that number?
Yeah, totally agree. We have a lot of great tools. We have a financial gaps calculator that can start you on that journey, but you just have to work backwards. Finding out what your profitability is today and your true profit, it's a great start. We have a lot of people that come into pro coaching and they're in the negatives and they're producing more than $4 million a year. They don't have any money. Now, don't feel bad about that, but that's a place to start. And our job is, let's not do that anymore. So month over month, quarter over quarter, it's called progress. It's important. Michelle.
So Kirk, you make a great point. A lot of people come in kind of not really knowing because they went to dental school. They didn't go to business school. They didn't get their CPA. So it's scary to actually dive in. And sometimes it's more comfortable to keep your head in the sand. But until you actually know the black and white of it, the nuts and bolts, you can't move forward. And it's one of our favorite things to do at ACT as coaches is help our teams and our doctors really understand the business side of their practice and then be able to make small incremental changes that at the end of the day have a huge impact on their financial health.
Totally agree. And so if you're listening to this, you might think it's, well, that's just hard. No, it's not. It's actually quite easy. The first step in any effective change process is just telling the truth. So what Michelle does for a lot of our practices is just get the financial gaps calculator right for the first quarter. Most dentists go, this isn't right. We go, okay, well, this isn't our, it's not my practice. They're like, why am I spending $5,000 on this? I'm like, I don't know. It's your practice. And so just being aware is the first step. Then they can start to make changes in that. So that's the second bucket. The third bucket is, what do you want for your team culture? You cannot do dentistry alone. You spend 30% of your life at this place called work. I hope you go to work and you truly love and care for the people that are around you. And nothing is better than that when it comes to work. And so what's your vision for your team culture? And again, all of this goes back to intention. None of this happens accidentally. People always wonder, like, how do I create a great team? Well, you got to be intentional about it. You got to attract the right type of people. And this is where we have to up our game more than ever. I think in today's day and age, every business, I don't care if you run a restaurant, I don't care if you have a dental coaching company, I don't care if you have dental practice, I don't care if you have a law firm, you got to be all in on team culture, because this is the single biggest piece of your success. So what's your vision if you're a dentist for your team, your overall vision for your team? How healthy is your team culture right now? If it's not healthy, you got to fix that, because the lowest common denominator effect is in play, because you can't have one energy sucker. They need a co-sucker, and then they need a tri-sucker, and then a quad sucker, because you have somebody sucking energy, they're going to take down the whole practice. And that's not their fault. It's your fault. What specifically makes a great culture? How can you help your team achieve their career goals? And you might be thinking, oh my gosh, here he goes again. No, if you do check-ins, you'll know exactly what their career goals are. You know, what are your team's goals for their family, their work-life balance? Is that important to you? I would say, heck yeah. We always say families first. Michelle, you got something going on? You don't even need to explain it. Go. We got you. You know what I mean? And it's amazing when you consistently put the flag in the ground on those components, how strong your team comes back to support you, even the toughest moments. What's your team's financial goals? Yes, you do have to ask that. Got to open the window because they'll tell you. And so it's important to know and have great clarity around your team culture. And we'll show you more about that. And then lastly, what about your life? Okay, what does your life look like outside of your practice? Yes, you do have to have a life. What time do you leave? Do you have little kids? Do you want to be there when they grow up? You know, do you want to coach their sports teams? Do you want to put them to bed? You can have all of that. You don't have to service patients in the evenings or weekends to get your practice going. What would you like in your schedule? Yes, you can determine what's in your schedule. Here's a fascinating concept, and I'm having fun with you. You can put whatever procedures you want in your schedule at the time that you want them. It's America. It's so cool. You can choose how to practice, and you can create that over and over again. You don't have to let your patients pick that. You pick that. How fast do you want to work? Some of you don't want to work at the speed that you're working at. We have a lot of people that were heavy PPO, and they become less PPO. And the phenomenon we see consistently is they're like, I'm freaking out. I'm like, why are you freaking out? Because I have holes everywhere. I'm like, why? Because we've dropped a lot of PPOs and I've got holes everywhere. I'm like, but your collections are skyrocketing. I know. I don't like it. I'm like, why wouldn't you like it? Go get something done. Michelle.
I feel like I have the best client stories today. I just had a call with a client that we talked about the fact. I said, nothing makes me happier as a coach than seeing your capacity in the red and your collections in the green.
Yeah.
So you had time to, I don't know, maybe work on your business, maybe do some of those administrative tasks that you have to do as a business owner during your day instead of having to come in on your day off and do those things. So you're right. It's scary. It's a huge mindset shift for our doctors when they see those holes in the schedule and we go, but did you hit your goals for the day?
Yeah.
So who cares?
Go
have a cup of coffee.
Yeah. So you got to be intentional about all these. And these are tough questions, but like, I'm going to ask you, sit down and reflect, have a glass of wine, maybe a cup of coffee in the morning. And these are tough questions. And if you answer them correctly, you can chart an amazing life. And if you struggle with it, again, you got to have a coach. What do you want to be known for by your patients? Most importantly, what do you want to be known by your spouse, your children, and your friends? Like, what do you want the story to be about you? One of my favorite stories is we had a babysitter. Her name was Rachel. And the bad thing about having a great babysitter is they grow up and then they move on. It's the worst. And so Rachel had this boyfriend. His name was Brad. Brad was dreamy. He was 6'4", good looking guy. And so she says to me, Mr. Barrett, I know what you do. Like, would it be okay? My boyfriend, Brad, he is thinking about being a dentist or a doctor. Would you mind if you talk to him? I go, of course I would. Like, I'm not going to be a good person to talk because I'm a little biased. And so I said, Brad, this is a big decision. You know, and I don't want this on me that I completely convince you to be a dentist because I'm going to tell you you're going to be a dentist, but let's do this. I'm going to have you go visit a few people and just watch them work. And then I want you to find some MDs and watch them work. I heard from him like 2 months later, Michelle, he goes, that's a no-brainer. First dentist I said to him is Craig Harry. So Craig, if you're listening to this, Craig already knows this story. He's like, I went to see your dentist, Craig Harry. He's like, he was laughing all day. He's like hugging patients. In between patients, he's showing me cool things. And then, do you know what he said to me, Kirk, at the end of the day? I go, what? At 4 o'clock, he looks at me. He goes, kid, this is fun, but I got to go. And I said to him, where are you going, Dr. Harry? He goes, I'm going to go hit golf balls. He goes, be a dentist. And so he took off. He goes, and guess what he does now, Michelle?
Let me guess. See a dentist?
He is. He's an orthodontist. He's an orthodontist in Kansas City. And he's crazy successful.
Even better. There we go.
So he graduated from Nebraska and he called me. He's like, I really love dentistry. But you know what I really love? I'm like, what? Like ortho. I'm like, go for it, buddy. So he's like, where can I practice? I go, anywhere you want. He's like, do you think I could go home and practice? I'm like, dude, come on, man. So it's fun to hear those stories. But my point is this. You can pick anything you want and you can create it. And he's got little babies now. And guess what? He's part of their lives. So it's pretty cool. And lastly, you know, retirement needs. This is a big one because it's amazing and sad how many dentists we work with that don't have a retirement plan. They're not on track. Do you realize as a dentist, if you practice for 30 or maybe in 40 years, you're going to have anywhere between $5 and $15 million come in and out of your business? I want you to think about it. You're going to have anywhere between most of you listening, you're going to have anywhere between $10 and probably $20 million come in and come out. why wouldn't we put up a plan that just like segments a little bit of it and puts it over here? I'm going to keep working hard and I'm just going to create a little channel that puts it over here. And I got a great financial guy or gal who's going to help me hit the number because it's actually a mathematical issue. All you have to do is save enough and you'll be there. And one last thing, here's a phenomenon that we find in dentistry. We do find people that are transitioning in dentistry. And my question to them is always like, do you need the money or do you not need the money when you sell the practice? And all I can tell you, if you're listening, is those are two different sales. The dentist that needs the money, it's not the same sale as somebody who doesn't need the money. So I encourage you to be the dentist that transitions that doesn't need the money. And you can do that with great planning and great vision. So how does this all work? Let's go a little bit deeper. It's really once you answer those questions, now you got to move on to core purpose and values behind the meeting. You got to put the flag in the ground about why you exist and what you stand for. Because when you create your core purpose, it inspires everyone. Our core purpose here is better practice, better life. It has been forever. It attracts the right team members. It attracts the right dentists. We don't get the dentists who are like, yeah, I want to scale, work Saturdays and Sundays. I want 30 practices. I'm not saying that's bad. That's just not what we do. We attract the people who are like, no, I want a life. I want to enjoy going to work. I want a life and I want to watch my family grow up. So there's a lot of power. So what's your core purpose? Because it inspires not only your team, but it inspires the people you serve. It's what your team, it's why. There's got to be a why they get out of bed and come to work. And when core values, which are just your behaviors, you know, a lot of times we find people make core values so difficult. They're really aspirational. They're words we can't describe. Core values are just non-negotiable behaviors for at work. My king value here is all in attitude. We have five others, but like my most important one is I just need people that are all in. Can't say it's not my job. I'll take out the trash. Barrett cleans the carpets. I need people who think like that. You know,
can confirm. I have seen him bust out his carpet cleaner more than once. And absolutely. I'm only in Milwaukee once a quarter.
Yeah, we do to the top here. Everybody busses dishes. Barrett busses dishes. I bust dishes. Like no one is above the job. Everybody's all in. Now we all have our responsibilities. Don't get me wrong. But those are values. How do you want people to behave? So you got to define that. And then leadership lessons, when you build a culture and you share the purpose and the values and you have accountability requires accounting. It's not just, I trust you. I trust you too. No, let's put some numbers and some metrics to this. And it's natural, not forced. This is when your team starts to take responsibility. Because when you do it over and over and over again, they'll go, I am totally picking up what you're putting down. I got this. And so what are some other thoughts before we go a little bit deeper on this, Michelle? Anything you would add?
I'm just going to throw another core value from ACT out there, which is walk the talk. So once you have these things defined, and we're going to tell you how to do that in the next few minutes, it is so important that you walk the talk. Yeah. As goes the leader, goes the team. So you are the example for the behaviors. When we do have Barrett and Kirk who come in and do all the things, it makes such a big difference. As a hygienist, if I had a doctor pop in and help me clean a room or help me perio chart, it meant more to me in my day than anything else. And they were living the core values that they had put in place.
Yeah.
So if you're going to take the time to establish a core purpose, establish core values, make sure that you're holding yourself accountable to those core values and that core purpose as well.
Yeah. And core purpose is a hard one. I'll just tell you. And that's why you need the help of a facilitator, a coach, an expert in this. And so we've lived nine lives. This has been a statement for us, better practice, better life. But I'll tell you a story. We had the marketing director for Harley Davidson back in the day. She's now retired. She's amazing. She came into our office and she goes, I want to tell you something. I've been in marketing forever, like with some of the biggest people in the world. This is real and this is powerful. And she helped me understand. I was like, yeah, we're really leaning into our core purpose, but it's hard. She goes, of course it's hard. She goes, but let me make it easy for you. Better practice, better life. You ready? I go, I'm ready. She goes, it has to check both boxes. If it checks one and not the other, don't do it. I was like, oh, I've never forgotten her words. They're just boxes we have to check. Now, this is your challenge as a dentist. What are the boxes we have to check? And is it perfect? No. But along the way, you're going to find a body of work. You're going to create a body of work that people really, they want to be around it. They want to be part of it. So it's stated in a few words or sentences. It's simple language. It's easy for anyone to understand. And here's another thing I'll say. You can't win big with small ideas. So don't come up with a small idea. Make it a big idea. And it, yes, it might be aspirational when you start, but as the more you make progress, you're like, I think we can do this. It inspires everybody to work harder and be coalesced around it. So there's great examples out there. Better practice, better life. I mean, Apple, think differently. It has nothing to do with computers. You know, Nike, inspire every athlete around the world. And we don't have, you know, it's so fun to watch a company just totally put this in play and create purpose way beyond the product. So your purpose, your core purpose is way beyond your product. And then let me do a couple more things on core values. Your core values are a handful of guiding principles. I always call them just behaviors. You know, walk the talk. Michelle, you mentioned that one. That was important to me because being a coach, I didn't ever want to tell somebody to do something when I didn't do it. So my invitation stands. I've had this invitation. If you ever want to see us work, you don't need an invitation. You don't need an appointment. Just show up. I'll let you be my guest all day. I hope you see what I say is true. You're going to find we're goofy. We're not perfect, but man, we are leaning hard into what we believe. And I hope the same exists for you. Give greater than get is an important one. You know, results driven. I want people to get results in our community. So whatever it means to you, I want you to make those things come alive. And let me help you why core values are so important. Core values are important because you only hire people for two reasons. If you're thinking, Kirk, I don't have the right people. Well, here's how you find the right people. You only hire people for two reasons. Number one, they fit your core values. They are all in. Whatever your values are, they go, that's that person. They fit your core values. And the second reason you hire them is they get results. They're good at getting results at what they do. They don't work for you because they worked for a long time. They're your friend. They came with the practice, your neighbor. You have to get your team, you know, aligned around, listen, we have these behaviors and we have these results. Let's do this. People that are accountable that like results like to be around other people that are accountable and get results. And they're verbs. Core values aren't words, they're verbs. So it's important. Then you got to be able to tell stories. And when you tell stories around employees, team members, patients, they become alive in the halls, not just hanging on the walls. A lot of people do core values, but they're like, I don't know what they are. They're on our website. No, make them come alive. And you got to repeat. And I'll finish with this. And, you know, Michelle, we can open up. Somebody on your team, usually the leader, and that's me around here, has got to be the chief repeating officer. You got to pick the few things that you're going to repeat over and over and over, almost to the point where they can repeat them. And I was telling Michelle this before we went on. My son, Bo, at home, he can mouth the words. Here he comes. He's like, stop, stop. Bo, you know what the most important thing is? I know, family, stop it. Like, you think you're annoying them. You're not. You are actually reinforcing the things that matter. The number one reason teams lose alignment isn't resistance. It's forgetfulness. People get busy, priorities shift, focus drifts. Your job as a leader is to bring everybody back to the center over and over again around what's important. Great leaders repeat the most important messages. They don't repeat everything. So you as a leader, you got to pick the things that matter and just repeat them over and over again until they start to come to life, until other people can repeat them and it becomes great. And what happens is a lot of times we think repeatability is condescending. We think it's, you know, irritating somebody, but there's huge benefits to repeating the things that matter. It creates predictability. It strengthens the neural connections you have with your brain. It also amplifies influence. You know what I mean? It builds trust. When people expect the same thing, here he goes again. Here he goes with the all-in attitude. Here he goes with this whole, some of my team members, it's so funny. Some of our coaches are like, oh God, here he goes with the Applebee's story again or whatever. Like you're going to tell a great stories around the things that matter. And you think it's not inspiring them, but it is. It is. Why leaders resist repetition? Again, they just feel like it's redundant and there's time limitations, lack of clarity. So it's important to repeat. Anything you would add, Michelle, before we bring this to a close?
No, I think you've nailed it. It's funny. We talk about you don't want to be annoying. I think probably my clients get most annoyed at me when I tell them You get to be the CRO, the chief repeating officer, because like you said, they're like, but I told them once. They should know. And the fact of the matter is, we know through neuroscience that people have to be told multiple times. And the amount of times I'm with a team and I hear them say, oh, we used to do that, but we just kind of fell off. Well, it's because nobody was repeating what we were doing. What is the behavior that we're looking for? What is the core values that we're looking for? And how do we make that happen in our day-to-day life to keep everybody feeling really good about being at work? Do I want my team members to sit in their car and dread coming in the morning? Or do I want them excited to be there?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. And so one of the things that's really important, in addition to repeating, is to making sure that everybody's aligned around the right things. Our coaches do a calibration, ABG session on Mondays. We share stories among practices. They're constantly learning from each other. And it's fun when they go, how do they do that? And so, Michelle, you can speak to this. All roads go back to, I have three doctors that run this practice. You know where the magic all happened? They got aligned. They didn't have to agree, but a great coach got them aligned. And man, the magic it creates for the other people, because you can get all intellectual. And oftentimes what partners do is they don't take the time, nor do they have a coach. And the cool thing about having a coach like Michelle is she can just tell you the truth and you don't have to like it. It's for the benefit of the practice. But maybe you could speak to this, Michelle. Getting three leaders or four leaders or even one leader or two leaders aligned around these things, their values, their vision, their core purpose, it changes everybody that touches this practice. True or false?
Absolutely true. And it can seem daunting, especially because sometimes we have leaders come to us that are so diametrically opposed on literally, like, if one says the sky is blue, the other one's going to say it's green. And it is the coolest thing because there is always common ground. When we start actually digging into what are you doing? Why are you doing it? Why are you here? We always find that common ground. And one of the fi my favorite things that you talk about, Kirk, at TTT sometimes is how, as leaders, you can't show that daylight between you. You cannot have an ounce of daylight. I don't care if you disagree behind closed doors, but in front of your team, you better be razor aligned. And so that they know what to expect. It creates a sense of safety for your team. It makes them feel comfortable. And it's just critical to have a well-functioning, healthy culture and to be a good leader.
Totally agree. Totally agree. You ever notice this? The bottleneck in a bottle is never at the bottom. A lot of dentists come
Always
to
at
us and
the
they
top.
go, they're not getting it. No, the bottleneck is at the top of the bottle. So it's really cool when you can get leaders aligned. And it's powerful. And I love what you said. Like, any crack in alignment blinds everybody else. And so our hardest work, the hardest work we do, is getting leaders aligned. And when they do, I'm just going to say it over. When they're aligned, not necessarily green, but they're aligned, razor sharp aligned, it has magic in its impact on the practice. Let's do some final takeaways and open it up for questions. Number one, you got to have a clear vision. Vision provides direction. You got to think strategically about where we want to go and where we want the practice to go. If you want more information, you can go back in the Best Practice Association. You'll see a lot of tools. Specifically, look for the OGT tool. It's a great way to strategically get aligned around the vision for the practice. You can use the four buckets we gave you today. And then also build the values. Core values are the single most important thing you'll ever do. Purpose and values build meaning. Everybody wants work now with meaning. It's going to help your team. It's going to inspire them about why we exist and what we stand for. And then repeat it over and over again. When you repeat the right things, it creates alignment. As goes the leader, so goes the team. So you, as the leader, are the chief reminding officer. So this week, I want you to do a couple things. Start every conversation with your team by connecting what you're discussing back to your vision and your purpose. This is how it works. Once you get clear about where you're going, all you got to say is, does this fit? Better practice, better life? Should we stay after 5 o'clock? Hell no. Do you know what I mean? I tell people, you are in trouble with me if I find out you're here after 5 o'clock. Do you know what I mean? If you're working on the weekends, routinely, you're going to hear from me. You know what I mean? Like, we got to stay in line. And so one simple sentence of alignment in a day can shift everyone's culture over time. So again, all these resources back here, we're here to support. This is not easy stuff, but Michelle, let's open the floor for any questions that might be out there. Feel free to ask any questions. And there's no bad questions.
So yeah, we'd love to hear from our community. I have put into the chat your directions on how to get your continuing education credit from today's webinar. And so far, it is crickets out there, Kirk.
Oh my gosh.
We must have done such a phenomenal job of explaining leadership that no one has any questions.
Yeah. Well, if questions come up later, or if you're struggling with some of this stuff, here, I'm going to encourage you to do this. Share this webinar with team members. If you have a partner, just say, listen, I want to be aligned. Can you just watch this for a second? And we don't want you to struggle on your own. This is an amazing profession. I'm here to tell you, you can create anything you want. You just have to start at the top and get the leaders or leader aligned around where they want to go. And it's completely possible. Everything you want to do, you can do. And we're here to support you every step of the way. Your values are the single most important thing you'll ever do. In conjunction with all that, it's going to bring the type of people that you want. So, all right, I guess we don't have any questions. So let's do this. Here we go.
Question. All right, Melissa, can you talk a little bit about the differences? Ooh, this is a good one. Mm-hmm. Between mission, purpose, and vision, and how that ties into values.
Ooh, good one.
Great question, Melissa.
Yeah. So you want to answer that one before I get long-winded on this or no?
So, ooh, how can I do this in a concise way? Because I feel like I would like to. So I would say a great starting point is the book Traction. It does explain the difference between mission, purpose, vision, and values. And the biggest difference is a mission statement is longer. It's a more of a paragraph, like a vision statement on all of the things that you want to do within your business versus a core purpose, which is that 5 to 7 words. It's succinct. It really has nothing to do with your actual business. It's more your sense of purpose, your raison d'etre, if I was going to go French on us. It's your reason for being as a business.
Yeah.
And then your values are your moral compass. So yes, you have a vision, but our values are how we make decisions. If I don't know what the right thing to do is in the day, I'm going to go back to, well, does this choice fit our core values or does it not? If I don't like someone's behavior, does that behavior rub against our core values in some way, shape, or form? It probably does. So your vision really comes first. And then we add in the values to support.
Totally agree. Yeah.
What else you got, Kirk?
I would just add on top of that. So it's a great question. And so I've gone full circle in 31 years of doing this. I love your question. Absolutely. So I would start with this. I'm going to start with the most important. Values are just this. They're the 3 to 6 non-negotiable behaviors. Period. That's all they are. 3 to 6. We have 6. In your home, you have a set of behaviors that you say, this is how we behave here. You as a business owner get to choose how people behave. You don't think you do, but you do. So that's values. And I would start with that one first. Because even if you don't have vision right, you're going to create an incredible team of who are behaving the same way. The only reason you don't like people is they don't believe in what you believe and they don't want to behave the way you behave. All in attitude came from an anti-value. I had team members in the past that say, that's not my job. They got to do their job. I'm not going to do that. Now, it wasn't their fault. It was my fault. I didn't put the flag in the ground and go, I'm not tolerating that. Like, all in. So let me reiterate. Values are just non-negotiable behaviors that anyone could understand. Totally get it. That would be number one. Vision is just, what's this place look like? Just that. And answer those 4 questions. What does this place look like 2 years from now, 3 years from now? And if I sent a dental student or a high school student to your office, and they said, tell me about your vision. If they don't come back inspired, I would say, well, let's go to work on this. I hope you tell a great story. One of the things, and I'll answer your question because Melissa is such a great one. I love doing a tour here. It's my favorite thing. When we have guests, and we've had a lot of them, Barrett will go, you want to give them the tour? I'm like, yes, please. I tell a story. And the story is really the vision. It's like how it started, where we were, what this means. In about 10 minutes, I can get all of that in. Where we're headed, where we've been, what matters most to us, what I want people to feel, And I love telling the story to a crescendo. I start here, I go all the way back to the training room, and I go right inside by the cooler and those doors, and I end with some great statement. I don't even know what it usually is, but it's something like I love telling that story. And really that goes back to Chief Repeating Officer. You know, when it comes to core purpose, it's just the why. Why do we do this? Why did you become a dentist? Just why? Answer the question, why? I do this work today because I want every dentist and every team member to, number one, create a better practice and better life. I don't care about how cool your dentistry is. I hope it's cool. But I hope you tell me a story. I have people come up to me, and again, I'm just sharing stories. One of my favorite is I was at a volleyball tournament in Lawrence, Kansas. This woman comes up to me. She grabs me from behind. She goes, "You're the bald guy." And my wife goes, "Okay, that's weird." And she goes, "I don't even know your name. It doesn't even matter. I've seen your videos, blah, blah, blah." My husband comes home from a conference one time. This was years ago. And he's crying. I go, "Why are you crying?" He goes, "I just got back from a dental meeting." She's like, "What kind of a dental meeting would you be crying?" He goes, "I'm done. I'm working 7 to 3. I'm going 4 days a week. I don't care. I don't care if the practice dies. I don't care. I want to watch these kids grow up. I don't care if people come. I'm not turning back." And she's like, "Oh God," she said to me, she's like, "I thought the practice was going to totally implode." Guess what? I go, "What?" She goes, "We make more money. He's home so much. He's home all day. He's coaching his kids. You gave me my husband back. I just want to say thank you." I was like, that's what matters. You have stories like that too. And the greatest thing is to get those stories. Not that you're the best dentist, whatever, but you changed my life. And that's when you know your core purpose is working. It inspires the people you serve, and it inspires your team. And at the end of the day, when you do what you love, with the people you love, for the people you love, that's a trifecta. Now, mission statement is a little bit more lofty, and I'm going to be super transparent. I don't love a lot of the definitions of mission statement. I love Michelle's. But mission is a little bit more inspiring. It's kind of a how. How are we going to do this? And it's usually a lofty statement that's one or two sentences long. And you got to work hard at making sure that it sticks. So I would say mission statement is important, but I would save that one for last. And so, great question. Any other questions that we have?
So let me see. Will I give the CE verbally? So Deborah, I do have it posted into the chat. I can send you an email though, if you want to shoot us an email at michelle@actdental.com. I will be happy to send that to you via email. The link is just too long for me to go through that verbally.
Yeah.
And I have a takeaway. Oh, it looks like nobody's seeing it in the chat. Let me see. Oh, that's why.
All right. So, hold on. So Melanie said, "I took a lot away today. My number one today is, does the return on your effort feel reasonable?" Great question.
All right, guys, let's see if we can see it now. It should be in there.
And people that are accountable and get results want to be around. Yeah, it's so true. Your favorite people, I'll add to this, Melanie, are people that love accountability. Your least favorite people don't love accountability. Yeah. So look for people that
works. All right. I'm going to take accountability for the fact that I was sending it to the wrong spot.
Hey, you're doing a great job. So we'll conclude.
It's in there now, guys.
All right. We'll conclude with that. Michelle, thanks for being on. As they say in the South, I appreciate you.
Oh, thanks, Kirk.
So thank you guys for showing up. We really appreciate it. We're going to have the replays back there. Make sure you check out the Best Practices Association. Join us in the Smile Source ACT Dental community. You're going to love it. And if you need help along the way, if you've tried everything, you're like, "I just can't do this," get a coach. And you get an amazing human being like Michelle come to your office and whip you and your team into shape. I promise you, you'll love it.
We have fun too. I don't just whip people.
Yeah, I would totally agree. Totally agree. So thank you guys for listening. Keep chiming in. I can't talk to you. We're going to keep bringing it. So until we see you guys next time, have a great day. Have a better practice and a better life. Have a great day, everybody. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.